Giants fans, welcome to Big Blue All Day, the podcast that brings you New York football Giants content all day long. While your hosts toe-tap the line between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Tonight's episode of Big Blue All Day is not brought to you by anyone. Insert sponsor here. Don't forget to check out our print content at bigblueallday.com and rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. Adult content ahead, because you know, we're doing it live. As always, Mac back in the power chair. On the line, we got the disciple himself and Rahway Tommy. On tonight's episode, we take a look at the Giants' Week 10 matchup versus the Houston Texans and a quick look ahead next week versus the Detroit Lions. Boys, take it away. It's Victory Monday.
Yeah, you got to like what you saw from the Giants yesterday. I mean, you kind of wish they would have beaten up on this team a little bit because they are pretty much like the worst team in the league. And to only beat them by 8 points is a little, you know, at least you got the W. And I was there, great energy all game long. I had a great time. I drank a little bit, you know, got to see another win. I'm happy about it. You know, Daniel Jones, highly efficient. You had Saquon carrying the team. You had the same guys, the underrated signings, Fabian Moreau, Jihad Ward, balling, Dexter Lawrence, dominant. Team, you know what? They're getting better. They're not making that many mistakes. They're taking the ball away. I'm excited about this team.
Rahway, where are you at? You excited that we're at 7-2, or are you a little disappointed we didn't beat up on the dumpster dwellers of the NFL?
I'm happy. I would have been happier if we put up a few more points. Again, a one-score game. The Eagles only beat them 29-17, so it wasn't like they handled them much more score-wise than we did. So, I mean, it was a good Sunday in New Jersey. I was cooking on the stove, back in the New York groove, blasting on the speakers. I'm back in the New York groove. Wasn't at the stadium, but felt like I was there. It's a good Sunday. You get another win, and we improved. We looked better. Guys were hurt. Guys that came in played well. You know, we showed some depth. The roster's being built by Shane and Daboll. It's a good win. We're 7-2. Two more wins, 9-8. You think that probably gets you in. So I'll take 7-2 and be very happy. The game went like we thought it would, right? We're going to expose their weakness. We have a workhorse, a lead back, bell cow, RB1. Saquon, 35 carries, 152 yards. If you listen to him after the game, he could only remember one or two games in college where he touched the ball that many times. Had another catch for a few yards, 160 total yards, and a touchdown. You know, I'll take it. We did what we were supposed to. We ran the ball down their throats.
I hope Roadhouse was listening and we get that needle drop for New York groove. But that aside, before we dive into the positives, because I do not want to be the killer of our mood here, boys, but just entertain this for a moment. The Giants yet again let up 300 yards passing, over 100 yards rushing. The Giants' defense seems to hold up in the critical moments, right? Third down percentage. It still only held them to 16 points. But are we really excited that we needed two red zone turnovers to hold this team to 16 points? I just don't know. This game could have looked a lot different, just like the Jags game. And like the teams are moving the ball. I am concerned that eventually this red zone, is it luck or is this just who the Giants are? That's really, I guess, at the core of this.
Winning isn't everything, but it's the only thing. In our business, there is no second place.
Can we continue to be where we want to be on third downs and in the red zone?
What would you say, though? Is that where you're supposed to stop them, in the red zone? Third down? You know, the first few possessions, three and out. Then when they get the ball in the red zone, we do stop them. And we're shutting them down on third down. But if, you know, Ben don't break, Wink works his magic in the red zone, I'll take it. They did plays, 46-yard play and a 44-yard run that accounted for 100 yards on two plays, the screen to Akins and that big run towards the end of the first half from Pierce. So he went over 100, but included in that was a 44-yard run.
No, that's totally fair, and to your point, as far as where we're supposed to do it, I think, you know, 2020, the Giants, we were happy about Patrick Graham's bend don't break defense, but you look at the Giants' stats this year. Going into Sunday, we were third in the NFL in red zone defense. Texans go 1-6 in the red zone, and we're now second overall in the NFL. only 34%. 34% of drives in the Giants' red zone end up in with touchdowns in the end zone. Excuse me. You go back to 2020, we were also good in the red zone. The difference here is third down defense. Texans went 3-for-10. So I guess you make a fair point, Rahway. It's the, you know, who cares about first and second down if you get it done on third and in the red zone? I guess I'm nervous about those stats coming back to bite us, given how many yards we give up.
Yeah, I'm nervous about getting gashed for, you know, a huge home run play, which I thought, you know what I mean? Some of these, like, just huge plays, like, we're lucky they didn't end in touchdowns, but you know what? The luck was the same on us because we had that huge missed tackle, Darius Slayton. I think it was, what, 54-yard touchdown? Longest Daniel Jones passing touchdown of the year, I'm sure. Just an at, like, the defender should have had Slayton dead to rights on Jalen that left sideline. Right?
Yeah, who's Baylor rookie?
Not a terrible guy. He's got the instincts, but the tackling's just got to improve. And you saw that there, just a little shimmy from Slayton down the sideline, can't catch him. I believe they clocked him at like 20.8 miles per hour. Next gen stats. I mean, we need Slayton to show up. And guess what? We need Galladay too, and he was nowhere to be found. Two huge drops. I mean, this guy just doesn't get it. It's maddening because you think he goes off on this thing. I just want to be out there. I just want to win with these guys, yada, yada. And then to come onto the field and drop that ball when you had 25 yards in front of you, wide open, not a guy. I couldn't see another defender in the whole peripheral vision there. And it's a drop. Drive killer.
It was another example, though, of taking advantage of where your opponent's bad. The Texans lead the league in blown tackles, and you put the balls, you know, in the hands of your playmakers there. Slayton, he's one of our playmakers. We're short at wide receiver, but he's definitely the guy that. So Darius Slayton, you put the ball in his hands, and he does it again and takes it for 54 yards.
Can we talk about Jones on that play though? Like, he extended that play. It was blown up.
He got walloped. He got hit.
The defense was in the backfield, and he was like on one leg and just barely got that ball out. I thought that play was going to get blown up. He knew he was going to get smacked and just waited enough time and got it out to Slayton. So, I mean, a great Jones play, but also, like, Slayton is making everyone look like idiots about the idea that we should have traded him. Like, where would the Giants passing attack this whole season really be without Darius Slayton? So,
oh, yeah.
Now for our weekly segment, the Daniel Jones Court. Daniel Jones' entire season is an audition to be the long-term answer. Jones, as is the Giants, is 7-2. However, until a new contract is signed, the jury is still out.
Last time we talked about what improvement was. If you look at today, Daniel Jones was under 200 yards with two touchdowns, but he completed 76% of his passes. He did what Dable asked him to do. Look at Davis Mills' stats, 319 with a pick. Who looked like the better quarterback today? So it's not all yards. I know it's not the best comparison, but it's just a reminder for us to not get caught up in the numbers and to look at how DJ looks on the field. And this week he looked like a guy that, you know, could do what needs to be done, could manage the game, could make the plays when they need to be played. He's not just a game manager. He's an athlete that can make plays. We've seen that with his legs. We saw it with two touchdowns, you know, the arm. He hasn't thrown an interception in six games. So we talked about turnovers all season with Daniel Jones. He's holding on to the football, making good decisions, taking a sack, throwing it away when he needs to. So I'm Joe Shane. I'm tagging Saquon, and I'm up in the DJ deal. We maybe start around 3 years, $90 million, see what happens from there. He's a guy that somebody's going to sign at this point. Somebody's signing him. There's teams in the league that need quarterbacks. Look who we're playing next week, Detroit. They don't need a quarterback. Houston doesn't need a quarterback. Somebody's going to give him the money. I think we keep him under that franchise number, you know, high 20s, 30 is our cap, and see what we can get done with him. Still keeping it on the short end, 3 years, see if that gets it done.
The undefeated head coach Jeff Saturday will absolutely get Daniel Jones to be the starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts if the Giants do not re-sign him. But really, there's only one number that sticks out to me. 153.3 passer rating. Now, I know QBR, passer rating, they changed the stats and who cares about what, but I'm pretty sure that's damn near perfect. Talk about his completion percentage. Factor in the drops as well, and that's looking even prettier. Dan Jones had a heck of a football game on Sunday. Didn't have to do much, which is a beautiful thing as well.
I mean, it was a good game for him, but I'm not 100% convinced. I mean, should this kind of like guy stop you from pursuing a real difference maker? Because I'm not sure if Daniel Jones is that. I think he's a good quarterback, but is he the reason? Like, I don't know. I feel like Saquon really is the reason. Daniel's not really driving the bus right now.
Who are the difference makers? Who are out there? Let's say this year, would we have mortgaged our future for Russell Wilson? Let's see how that works out.
I'm not saying that.
But then who is a difference maker that is out there?
I don't know. It's just like, you don't know. You don't know what the plans are. They might not even be considering resigning. They might want to draft their own guy. I'm just saying that can't be outside of the realm of possibility.
Let me throw something out to you, Disciple. I mean, sure, okay, keep all options open. But you want to say that Daniel Jones isn't driving the bus. Let's talk about the scoring drives. Per Giants Wire, on the Giants' 3 touchdown drives, DJ was 8 for 9 for 153 yards and 2 touchdowns. On those same 3 touchdown drives, Barkley had 54 yards, 3.4 yards per carry. And Barkley's touchdown run, which we all loved, was actually preceded by 2 third-and-long conversions, courtesy of one Mr. Daniel Jones. So I don't know that you can look at the box score and say Daniel Jones isn't as much of the reason the Giants are winning as anything else.
But is he making everybody else better?
Yes! Everybody on this team is dog shit.
Son of a bitch, is it?
Look, come on.
But is that the coaches or is that Daniel Jones? I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Sure. I got some real fucking
questions here.
I'm not saying that you're not. I'm just saying for years we've been talking about how this roster can't win and we don't have anybody. And all of the questions have been, can Daniel Jones elevate the talent around him? All of a sudden, the Giants are a significantly better team at 7-2. How can he not be part of that? Like, look at what happened to this offense. As dog shit as we were last year, when Daniel Jones got hurt, every single person on this team had career lows in everything that they did.
Yes, but Glennon and Fromm are such a far cry from a starting NFL quarterback, where Daniel Jones is actually a starting quarterback in the NFL. It's a totally, like, it's not even close.
Even Glennon had the worst statistical, like, well below his.
Nobody's saying start Glennon over Jones, though.
No, I'm just saying in that comparison, you're saying that one of them isn't even an NFL quarterback. On this team with almost the same roster, had well below his career averages. We went off a cliff when Daniel Jones went out last year. All I'm saying is he's part of the solution.
But I'm not saying he's part of the problem, but he's not necessarily part of the solution. All I'm saying is you just don't know. It might not be in the Giants' best interest to re-sign him when you got to pay Andrew Thomas, you got to pay Dexter Lawrence, you got to pay these guys, man. Xavier McKinney, another one. Like, these are guys that are going to need to be extended, and paying the quarterback might not be in this team's best interest.
All right, so we got another year with Andrew Thomas and Xavier McKinney. So, Rahway, you mentioned contract deals, 3 years, 30. We're tagging Saquon. Dexter Lawrence is fast becoming one of the best D-tackles in the league. Had a sack, 5 tackles, 1 for a loss, 5 QB hits, and 8 pressures on Sunday alone. How does that affect the rest of this roster, Rahway, if we go ahead and throw Jones the proverbial bag, 3 years, $30 million?
We need to re-sign Dexter Lawrence. He had a huge week this week. He had a good week last week in Seattle, before the bye. Next year, we have roughly $60 million in cap space to bring back Barkley, Jones, and Dexter. So I think you got to, be cognizant of how much you're spending elsewhere. The tag is something that you could fall back on Saquon. Hopefully, we can work out a long-term deal, which would be a lot more cap-friendly for us. He's still going to get paid, but
there's only one thing I would object to. My bad to cut you off. It came out of his camp somewhere, a rumor. I saw it on Twitter somewhere from a pretty reputable source. I can't remember. I'm sorry. I'll retweet it later. But he said that under almost no circumstances will Saquon play under a franchise tag. do you blame him? Do you tag him? And then with the expectation that if you can't get a deal done on time, you do try to get it done by training camp. You know what I mean? Is that part of the strategy? I'm not sure.
If Barkley
just
continues
gives you
to have
options,
the year.
You can get the deal done before camp starts, before he gets out on the field. And then worst case scenario, you trade him and somebody else extends him, and at least he doesn't walk for free. I want him back. You saw this week what he is when he's healthy. We've seen it all year. $60 million. Can we bring Dexter Lawrence back? Can we bring DJ and Saquon back and go out? Remember, we will need to improve this wide receiver core. So you're going to need to spend a little bit of money there also.
Look, I love Saquon. I love Dexter. Let's look at the Rams. They have some of the best defensive players in the league. They don't have an offensive line. And Matt Stafford looks more than human. You know, he looks
like terrible. 2017 Eli.
So my point being is that Daniel Jones doesn't need Saquon Barkley to be a capable NFL quarterback. I think it makes it a whole hell of a lot easier for him and everybody else. But if the decision is we re-sign a running back to above market value versus getting a quarterback that is capable of winning NFL games, I'm taking DJ 10 times out of 10. Rahway gave us 3 for 30. If the season were to end today, Disciple, you're Joe Shane. What's the number?
So 3 years, $30 million a year is what Rahway's saying. I can't go much higher than that, man. I might even go a little less.
How much less is the question?
I might go 3 years, 75, man. Has he earned the right to be in that pay scale? I don't know. Now, if we get to the playoffs and God forbid the Giants win a playoff game with him at the helm, we might have some talking to do. But I'm not sure at this moment if I'm ready. I think we got to pump the brakes for a second before we make this long-term commitment. I don't know if we're going to leave him at the altar. I don't know what we're doing. Are we ready to marry Daniel Jones? That's the thing. That's what we need to ask ourselves. That's what Joe Shane needs to ask himself.
And are you?
Oh, I'm getting cold feet, Mac. I don't know.
The Julia Roberts runaway bride over here. All right, so we got a 3-year 30 locked in, and we got runaway bride over here. So until next week, the court is adjourned. Now, as our favorite defense quarter would say, we're on to Detroit. All right, boys, the Lions are coming to town this Sunday. Lions coming off a 31-30 thriller over the Bears. Thank you, Justin Fields, for continuing to beat my loser friends in fantasy football. So let's take a look at the Lions' road here, right? They lost to the Eagles 38-35. That's a hell of a good game against the best team in the NFL. Let's call it what it is. Beat Washington, hung with the Vikings. I mean, this team has playmakers. How are we feeling about this?
I don't love it. I think it's going to be a tougher game than it was this week. It's going to be close. Like, there's a chance that, you know, they start to, their offense is good and we get tired out, that they start to pull away. And I'm not sure if the Giants are built for that kind of dogfight, you know?
I mean, again, 31 points to the Bears, 35 against the Eagles, 27 against Washington, 24 against the Vikings, 40-plus points in the Seattle game. Like,
but is our offense good enough to put up 40 points against this team?
No, that's my point. I don't know. I don't know that that's the case.
I hope we can at least crack 30. That'd feel great. We haven't cracked 30 in a long time.
I think this is a week where you're going to see it, because I think we're going to have to put up some points this week. You're going to have to hit 30, 33 points to win this football game, because Detroit's defense has given points up. Their offense has looked decent. You know, you may get a Goff day where he's awful and we blow him out. My guess is it'll be a closer game and we're going to have to score some points. They have weapons on offense. You know, hey, we saw this week. I'll give St. Brown 100 yards. You keep him out of the end zone, he could have the yards. just shut them down when it matters. The way Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams are playing, I want to send a thank you out to Dave Gettleman. It's one of the few things that he did that we could look back and go, he's helping us today. Turned into Ashton Davis and Michael Carter for the Jets. Leonard Williams had 9 solo tackles, 4 assists yesterday. He had 8-3 in Seattle, half a sack and a forced fumble against the Texans. I think those guys can repeat that performance against Detroit, and we could win the football game.
So, okay, so you talked about the Leonard Williams matchup. So tell me, boys, where are we looking at for the matchups to this game? So the Lions right now, they're sort of like the opposite of the Giants on the offensive side, right? The Giants give up a lot of yards on defense, but we're very, very good at points allowed. The Lions offense, interestingly enough, only checks in 20th overall in the NFL, but they're 9th in total points. Very balanced attack. 14th in passing yards, 15th in rushing yards. Had you asked me in August, would I be concerned about a Jared Goff-led offense that had Jamal Williams as the primary back? I would have laughed in your face. But that's the reality of Sunday. These guys are balling out. So where are we concerned about these matchups?
I mean, I'm almost concerned about Amon-Ra St. Brown. That guy is a freaking animal. It's going to be probably Adoree Jackson on him. You're going to get a little Fabian. I mean, you like those matchups, but you're not, you know, these guys are capable of doing damage, and I'm not sure where I'm at. I'm not sure. I mean, are we going to be able to contain the running game? How are we going to do against Jeff Okuda? He's a guy that people wrote off as a bust, and now this is, what, year 3 for him? And he's actually looking like a top corner.
Well, I'm not concerned about their corners because we don't have any real threats throwing the ball that we should be worried about.
You got a pass rusher named Aiden Hutchinson who's pretty good.
All you have to do
is make the quarterback make bad decisions. I don't know. That's a guy that might be capable of it.
You rattled off an offensive player. You rattled off Aiden. You talked to me about, like, so where is the concern? I feel like it's I don't know. Like, they're good. They're not bad. Blah, blah, blah. Like, what? So, like, are we actually concerned? Rahway, give me something. Give me some meat here.
I mean, we've seen better this year. You know, Seattle got the best of us. We played well for a little while there. We beat Baltimore. We beat a former MVP in Lamar Jackson. We beat a former MVP. I know it's a rough year in Green Bay, but they just beat the Cowboys. So that win starts to look a little better if they get going again. We've beat better talent offensively and defensively this year. So what are we really scared about? We lost by a touchdown to the Cowboys. I know it was Cooper Rush playing quarterback and not Dak, but, you know, CeeDee Lamb's still out there. Zeke, McFadden, We've seen better players and we've come out with 7 wins. So what scares us on that roster? I know they have some talent, but I don't think they've had better than we've seen throughout the year.
So the good news for us is that their second leading receiver by far. So Amon-Ra St. Brown, we all know he's a stud. He has 49 receptions for 518 yards and 3 TDs. Number 2 receiver for this team, he is now a member of the Minnesota Vikings. TJ Hockenson is second on the team with 26 receptions. That's even after last week when he didn't even play, and he's no longer there. So I'm not sure that I'm overly concerned right now. Like, Jamal Williams is a solid back, and he's played very well, but he is a veteran. He is who he is. He's not overly explosive. I like the Giants' defensive matchup against a guy like that. You know, if DeAndre Swift actually plays the lion's share, pun not intentional, of the snaps, as he should be, I think, now that he's healthy, that guy is much more concerning to me. I think the Giants defense struggles with shifty, quick guys who can catch the ball out of the backfield more so than a pretty standard plotter in Jamal Williams. But, you know, consider me an optimist.
Yeah, no, listen, this is just a game the Giants have got to win. I think they can win. I hope they do. But it, like, are the Giants due to lay an egg? Like, that's the thing. I'm not sure, man. I want to believe.
What are you sure about, disciple? I'm
sure about nothing. Nothing is sure. I want to be sure. I can't.
Well, that much is clear. So 7-2. The real question then is: are the Giants walking out of MetLife on Sunday at 8-2?
Oh God. Yes, 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 yes. That I'm sure about, honestly.
Love it. See, now there we go. We just need to coerce you a little bit.
The Giants cannot lose this game. That's what I'm saying. The Giants cannot lose this game. You cannot lose to the Dan Campbell-led Detroit Lions, who are what? What are they, 2-7? 3-7?
I believe they have 3 wins. Yeah, they're 3-6, third in the NFC.
Okay. So, yeah, listen, if you want to be taken seriously, you cannot lose this game. Just like last Sunday. You're on your way to the playoffs if you win this game. You're like, we could fuck around and maybe like go like after that, you go like 3-5. You know what I mean? You only have to win a few games to get to 10.
All right, let's not get too far ahead.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
All right, and that brings us to our next segment, What the F Would That Look Like? That's where each week we posit a hypothetical and discuss what the F the world would look like if that were to come true.
What the fuck would it look like if the New York Football Giants signed a healthy Odell Beckham Jr.?
If Odell returns to the Giants, it's a wild card win and a trip to the divisional round of the playoffs. And the Giants and the wide receivers avenge the boat trip.
Yo, calm down. Jesus, Rahway, that was crazy. Are we really expecting this? I mean, I don't know. Is this a different Odell? Like, what kind of, like, are we regular? Like, what are we expecting here, man? The guy's in his, about to be, I think he's almost 30 years old, is he not? Coming off a double ACL. He re-injured the same ACL.
Well, the question was, WTF would it look like if he was healthy? Not if he's still banged up. So let's be optimistic.
Yeah, but even if he is healthy, what if he's only at 80% for a year? Are you ready to lock him up for 3 years?
No one's doing that.
You only have $4 million.
Single team in the NFL is going to lock him up for.
Dude, that's well, what great. He wants.
I want 6-pack abs.
I think there's only one. There's only one GM in football that's doing that, and that's because he owns the team, and that's Jerry Jones. I could see him overpaying and bringing him in. But if we can lock him up for this year into next year, and he's healthy, he improves our wide receivers. Him at 80%.
I mean, I'm just not sure what we can like think of expectations. I'd love to see it. Like I like the guy. Like I was happy about the trade at the time because it was like 2 first-round picks. It's almost like that Family Guy scene was like, well, it could be anything, but we already had it. You know what I mean? We shouldn't have got rid of him, man. But we did get Dexter Lawrence through it, so it's like, can we really
relitigate the past? You know? I think it was the right move at the time, and you know what? His time in the Browns proved that the Giants were not in a position to take care of Odell or to take advantage of Odell Beckham Jr. at that time. I think what happened with him at the Browns and the Giants falling off a cliff the last few years showed that we were a paper tiger after 2016. We did not need to be paying a wide receiver top money with that roster. But this is about today and tomorrow. So the one word I will say, talk about what the F would have looked like, drama, baby, because just came out. Odell cannot help himself. I really do think he's a good guy. The teammates love him. But Odell Beckham Jr. just decided to sue Nike for $20 million today. This guy cannot stop making headlines for many things that have nothing to do with football. So you want to know what it would look like? It's going to look like drama, baby. New York would lose its mind if he comes home.
Oh, yeah, no, it'd be a crazy scene. I mean, I'd welcome it. I'm just not sure what to expect.
Does he help this team this year?
Yes.
Rahway, you're talking, this is a guaranteed second-round playoffs, hey? That's what you're feeling here?
I think he improves us and gives us a shot to win. If the playoffs started today, we're playing Tampa Bay, looking at a matchup with an aged Tom Brady. You think we could win that game with some more talent on the offensive side of the ball?
Tom Brady in the playoffs? Yeah, hell poetic. Yeah, I think the Giants win that game. Odell or not.
Oh, poetic. I love it.
The other part here, though, is, excuse me, I think it comes down to Thanksgiving, boys. He already said he's not going to sign with the team until after the at the end of this month. That's his ideal timeline. If the Giants take care of business this Sunday, go 8-2, heading into a premier matchup on Thanksgiving Day with the Dallas Cowboys, as you already said, the other team in the headlines looking to potentially overpay the hell out of Odell Beckham Jr. Do you really think he is this, like, shallow to decide, hey, if the Giants beat the Cowboys, I think that they might have a better chance of going deeper in the playoffs? Like, could it possibly be part of his evaluation metric about who at the end of this month looks better, the Cowboys or the Giants? I don't know. I'm not sure he is more mature than that.
Seeing him in with the Dallas star on his fucking head would really...
Unless he sucks. Hurt, unless they sign him for 3 years and he sucks, yes, and they don't make the playoffs, that would be beautiful.
Oh, okay, yes, that would be beautiful, but, you know, I don't know. I guess he's just got a special place in my heart, man.
You sound skeptical, disciple. I'm all for it.
I guess I kind of am. I'm just – listen, man. I mean, why wouldn't he go to the Bills, man? You know what I mean? Like, the Bills are one of the teams,
Well, hell,
too.
By that logic, why not go to the Jets? Like, you know, I think they're ahead of the Bills right now in the division standings.
Oh, yeah, they are. I believe the Bills are in third place right now, which is crazy. Who would have thought the Giants, after this many weeks – would have more wins than both the Cowboys and the Buffalo Bills?
So I think what the F would have looked like, a whole heck of a lot of fun. So let's roll right into huge predictions. Huge predictions is not brought to you by Fusillo Automotive, but we're working on it. So if anybody knows their VP of marketing, please hit us up at bigblueallday.com. This week on Huge Predictions, we are going to give our predictions for the Giants game against the Detroit Lions at 1:00 at MetLife Stadium.
All right, so I'll just go first. My huge prediction is Saquon goes for 200 yards, and the Giants win 31-20.
I'm going with a Giants win. They're finally going to win by more than one score, 33-21 Giants. And the huge part of this prediction is Kenny Golladay gets in the end zone in his revenge game against Detroit. He's been saying right things. Dable didn't kill him. He had a bad drop and a drop that was half his fault, half DJ's fault. I think the guy's trying. I'm really rooting for him. He makes us better. I think he gets out there and improves against Detroit and gets in the end zone. It's a good story.
Rahway, wow. I love the prediction.
I hope so. I hope you're right,
but I do have to say, he might not have killed him in the media, but he literally sat him for the entire second half. Two drops, didn't see the field for the rest of the game.
That's a crazy look. Tough. It's a crazy look, yeah. Especially when you got Cager out there catching touchdowns. Who the fuck is Cager, bro? This guy came in here and scored a touchdown right. I was like, yo, give this guy the ball, man. The Giants are making moves with the ball. Except
Shane
for Golladay.
Shane is just robbing the Jets blind between Jason Pinnock and Lawrence Cager making meaningful
snaps. Oh, dude, how about that guy, Pinnock?
All right,
man.
So, boys, I hate to do it to us, but we got to come back to life here a little bit. My huge prediction is the Giants show us a flop. And now, Daniel Jones ain't going to flop. That kid's going to ball out. 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 on the ground. But unfortunately, boys, that's the only points the New York Football Giants are going to be scoring in a 28-21 letdown at MetLife. 7-3 heading into a showdown with the Cowboys on Turkey.
Motherfucker, you 2 times.
All right, Giants fans, let's not bicker over who killed who and end tonight with the fact that the NFL still just isn't aware. The Giants are young.
They're aggressive.
They're improving.
New York.
Football.
Giants.
God, I love that. For Disciple and Rahway, I'm Mac. We're Big Blue all goddamn day. Good night.